Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we are using every waking hour of our time to play a video game about factories and maybe watching Frogger too. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Hey, Apathetic Enthusiasm, coming to you live from the West and East coasts. Also, if you're on the London coast, really any coast, if you're watching us currently as we're recording this.
Flyover states, if you're in flyover states like I am.
That's right. That's right. Hopefully you're on an American Airlines flight to Cincinnati, Ohio, checking us out live on America Online In Demand. On American Airlines flight,
how great would it? How great?
58.
How great would it be if this podcast, for some reason, was buried in the menus of American Airlines in-flight entertainment, and it just like we tricked the algorithm? And what if that's where all of our listeners and viewers came from? It's just people that are like, what are these guys talking about?
Like, we are actually,
I could either watch Ted Lasso or these two dudes can talk about video games for half an hour.
This is a tough one. Or I'll watch the Dave Byrne documentary that's on HBO where he does
Ken Burns. Are you trying to find Ken Burns? Is that the name you're
no,
trying to find?
No, the dude from Talking Heads.
Oh, okay. All right.
And he does this? does that thing with his hands?
I don't know. I haven't been on enough flights to understand that reference.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. It's great. You should check it out. Well, this is Apathetic Enthusiasm. I could tell you were going to make that transition. So I beat you to it. If you are listening to this podcast, thank you so much. You can find this on a couple different places. Over Twitter, at Apathusiast, if you want to catch the show Twitter. He is at Jugglemeno, M-E-N-O. I am at Barnyard Cruise. Facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. Email apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Go ahead and send us an email. We'd love to have you. Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. You can get to our website, www.apatheticenthusiasm.com. Of course, I talked about being live. I wasn't lying. Currently, we are streaming from twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. And you can catch videos of the shows afterwards over on YouTube, youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. You can support our show financially through a few ways. Our T Public, we have some shirts, Rounding the Bases shirts, some interdimensional RSS stuff at apatheticenthusiasm.com/shop. And then if you want us to, you know, support us directly, patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. We got some good stuff there. We got some stuff that we never actually fill it with. And maybe we'll just go to a model where we just ask for donations if you enjoy us.
Yeah.
That way, if we do send you something, you'd be like, whoa, I didn't expect anything. Maybe.
Got a touch of the tinnitus all of a sudden. Wow. Oh, many podcasts, Brandon. You know, I was thinking about Patreon. And I was thinking about how the last week that we recorded a podcast, Interdimensional RSS.
Yeah, and we talked about commentary.
We should do commentary this weekend. And then I listened back to the episode to do a little quality control. And I remembered us saying that. And I was like, oh, yeah, we should do that this weekend. And then the weekend rolled around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we didn't do that.
We didn't do that. No.
What did we do, Brandon?
I, too, thought about that, as a matter of fact. I thought about that this morning, actually. I thought, oh, right. Patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm commentary episodes for Rick and Morty. We didn't do that. I thought to myself,
we didn't do it,
but I didn't, but
feel
I didn't
bad.
I didn't say to feel you either. I didn't say it. I didn't at all.
Never mentioned it. Not at all.
No, I thought about it. I didn't say it.
You know what we did talk about?
What did we talk about?
Talked about factory optimizations.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Optimization is one of the things about the 21st century that I just adore. Optimization of processes, continuous process improvement, CPI, as it's known in some...
Wearing your green belt?
Yeah, Lean Six Sigma. It is what drives organizations, drives companies to more efficiency and bigger profits. I want to talk about this, but I want to go ahead and get your perspective.
Welcome to the Freakonomics Podcast, brought to you by Squarespace. What is a generic podcast advertiser? Yeah. Sherry's Berries.
Sherry's Berries? Is that a real thing?
That's a real thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They did a lot of early
podcast advertising, and where you could get for your loved one 25 chocolate dipped strawberries delivered straight to your door with plenty of customization. Head to sherrysberries.com and use the promo code AEPOD for 10% off your order.
Whatever happened to this Sherry's Berries?
Are they not still a real advertisement? Do not use that code. You will not get a discount.
Are they still around, Sherry's Berries?
I don't know. I have a web browser right here. There's only one way.
Look it up because I'm really interested to see if Sherry's Berries ended up being successful.
Sherry's Berries, available at berries.com, where you can get every event special. Sherry'sBerries.com now featuring birthday berries, dipped fancy berries, strawberry smiles. And now, as summer is leaving us in the dust, fall berries available with a colorful assortment of sprinkles and other crap on them. Okay, Brandon.
Yeah.
This is the first game of the night. I want you to guess how much one full dozen of gourmet fall dipped fancy strawberries cost from Sherry's Berries at berries.com.
Ooh, a dozen, you say?
One dozen gourmet fall dipped fancy strawberries.
Oh man, I'm gonna say this number, and there's part of me that thinks it's too low. $89.95.
Oh, he really went for it, ladies and gentlemen. All right, well, two dozen.
I went too high.
Is $74.99.
Damn.
So a full dozen of these berries can be shipped directly to your door for only $44.99.
Wow. I was pretty close.
Yeah.
If they make fall
celebrations a little more fancy.
If they up the quality of their chocolate,
We've taken our fresh, juicy strawberries up a notch, dipping them in the sweet confections, then covering them in colorful autumn sprinkles, rich orange drizzle, and crunchy ground toffee. Toffee, Brandon. Available in two sizes, these gourmet flavor favorites are made to be savored. Head to berries.com, promo code RMPPOD for 15% off. You won't... Actually, I just got a pop-up on the website that says get 15% off your first order. So just go to the website and hang out long enough for 15% off your first purchase. Sherry's Berries, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, if you have a business, we will advertise for you. We do not guarantee any return on your investment, but we will do it. Patreon.com/hypotheticenthusiasm.
We wasted like half of this show. You were reading off of that website, and I commend you because you went further and longer than I thought you were gonna go, and even in the middle of my interrupting, you still went for it. You did not change your path. You stuck with it, and for that, I'm giving you the Brandon Cruz Screwdriver Award of the evening.
Oh, it's over here. It's over here. I gotta get it over here. Yeah. Pass it over. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Yes. Thanks.
Yes.
Visual effects. It's good stuff. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. That's our show. We're in rare form tonight.
Well, we do. We do have topics to talk about. It only took us. Yeah. 10 minutes to get into it. 10 minutes,
yeah.
But the first thing we want to talk about is something Travis already alluded to, which is there was this game that came out a good couple years ago called Factorio. And Factorio on Steam was this top-down game where the whole purpose of it was to build a factory. So you could build miners, and then they would harvest ore, copper, iron, and then they'd smelt them in the bars, and then from the bars you smelt them into screws, pipes, plates, all that type of stuff. And you automated these things, and they would go down conveyor belts, and it's all top down. I had a blast with it. It's great. It's like a great time suck to try to automate your factories and then walk away for hours at a time for everything to fall into place.
Just leave it running.
Well, similarly, a couple of years ago, a game called Satisfactory came out. And
it would have been great if you'd just given the entire same description you just given for Factorio.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is for the most part, everything is the same with the exception of it is not top down. It is first person. And so we saw this game on Steam a handful of years ago. This was something you were more interested in. I was a fan of Factorio. You're like, yeah, the Satisfactory looks interesting. I wouldn't mind playing that over that, because I think it goes to your Minecraft sensibilities.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. And I was never anti Factorio.
Yeah, you were. You didn't buy it.
I didn't buy it, but that's because I'm cheap.
Yeah, anti. I would have bought it for you. I offered to buy it for you because it's multiplayer. I was gonna buy it for you, but you're like, no, I'm anti Factorio.
I don't know. That's true.
Yeah. Oh, it's in the logs.
All right. Bring up the tape. Do we have that clip? I think Factorio, for whatever reason, I didn't play. Maybe it's because I saw some people playing it that I worked with, and I was like, ooh, I don't know if my life can handle that much dedication to sorting out things. I think it felt too RTS for me, just looking at it. And I was like, oh, I don't know if that's going to be for me. But I picked up Satisfactory because it was on sale for like 10% off or whatever stupid amount of money convinced me, oh, it's cheaper now because it's $2 off. Still an early access game from Coffee Stain Studios, but I mean, released originally in March of 2019. So it has been out for quite a while, and it continues to grow, continues to be in development, as many early access games are. And I have been playing the heck out of this, and it's weird because the multiplayer aspect was something where I was like, yeah, that'd be cool, like we could both play it, but we've almost played it completely separately, except for occasionally I have actually never even visited your planet of factories.
That is true. There's games like we played Astroneer for a while together.
Yeah.
Which is another one where you're on these planets and you build up from scratch and then you start buying and building other stuff, yada yada yada. And you have to have like a persistent world, I think, is a thing.
Yeah.
With Astroneer, yeah, you would leave the game on while you went to church or went to, you know, cheerleading practice or wherever it was you went.
Yeah. All the cheerleading practices I go to.
Yep. And then you would leave that on. And so then I would be in there and I'd be screwing around like harvesting stuff and building up as our little space station, whatever. Right. This one, we haven't really done that. Like you've gone off on your own. And then like when you leave, I'm like, it's okay. I'll go on my world and I'll figure it out. And I think that's where the divergence happened was, because you bought it, you started playing it for a while. I joined your game and I saw, oh, there's like a bunch of stuff happening already. I don't know how to do any of this. So then you went away. I went to my own world. I started my own world, the tutorial, all that type of stuff. And then I saw, okay, I see what they're doing. I see how to progress, all that type of stuff. But then I got into, well, let me just keep going and see how this works. And because there's so much time that you need for things, then I wanted to see how to progress. And so that it just forced me to, like, I've invested so much time in my world that that I'm not going to invest my time in your world because I need more parts for my space elevator.
You know? And it does feel that way where it's like a my game and a your game. There isn't like an online server or that shared world. We didn't start a world together with like a shared experience. And I don't know. I think you bring up Astroneer. Astroneer has a very cartoonish look to it. It doesn't look as realistic. Satisfactory is definitely a game where the graphics are pretty solid on it. I mean, in terms of that first person aspect, it feels a little bit more, I don't know, I don't want to say higher quality because it's just an artistic choice, really. But it's easy to quickly get immersed and start letting time slip away as you continue to hunt for resources. And then where the game really kicks in is where you start to automate functions. So you have to make 100 of a particular widget. You can automate that process so that you can go off and start doing something else. And then all of a sudden you come back and, oh, those 100 things are done. Cool. Now I can, you know, send those up into space or whatever and start the next milestone.
Yeah. Yeah. And as I was talking about with Factorio, it's the same type of thing. You're on this planet, you land on this planet. There's a couple different planets that you can land on, you know, a deserty, a mountainy one, foresty one, etc. And you start off with just your basic kind of structure, and then you go out and you look for iron ore, copper ore. You put a miner there, and then you connect a conveyor belt to a smelter. And then you're lining that up, and then the smelter, another conveyor belt to a storage unit. And then you're like, okay, all I need is these ingots that I'm getting from the smelter. You're like, no, you know what? I need metal plates. Okay. So then you split that one conveyor belt off from the ingot creator into two separate belts. One belt goes to create iron plates, and the other goes to create iron pipes. And then you're like, okay, now a conveyor belt from each of those two things into a storage bin while I go away for a while till I figure out what I need to do next. And then you're like, oh crap, now I set everything all up in place. I had my diagram of how I wanted these pipes and these plates. Well, now I need to make screws. and that's how it progresses from the start of the game.
Yeah.
Into eventually where you're like, okay, to create this one part, say a smart plate, you need 50 gajillion screws for one thing. And
yeah, I was making motors yesterday, and it's like that requires rotors, which are made from iron rods and screws. I think this is which screws are made from like iron rods themselves too. So you need like multiple levels of iron production. And then on the other side, you have some other weird part that's made up of copper wire and steel tubes, which steel requires both iron and coal to produce. And so when you think about it, like what goes into this one part is five or six different sub pieces and sources and processes, which you can make all by hand. You have that option, but to automate it and have the factory do it for you, that's part of the fun and madness with these sorts of games, right? Is solving those problems and thinking through those challenges to find the best ways to automate things. And then you can even get into efficiencies and things like that and say, oh, well, my iron production isn't as fast as it could be. Maybe if I overclock this, I can speed this up. And maybe if I build two of these instead of one, then I'm supplying more iron widgets for, you know, the battery machine or whatever. So
yeah, yeah. Or like you're creating, you're mining too much ore, pure ore, and it's just sitting there at a smelter where, well, they're like, well, you're losing some efficiency there because it's not filling up anymore. So if you split that off into maybe two or three paths into a couple other smelters, then those smelters can then provide those ingots to the other part machines that you need to do. Right.
That's right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and the game seems to do a good job of building on itself, teaching you those early aspects of how to build a simple factory early, like almost through a tutorial. And then it has this series of milestones where you'll have a collection of three or four objects that you have to create to unlock something new. And every time you unlock these different milestones, the game gets a little bit bigger. It seems to expand. The things you have to produce become more complex. So as of right now, I still don't feel like I've like reached an end point. There are definite milestones, I think it's a good term for it, where I can turn in these four things and be like, all right, that's good for now. I should quit. Oh, actually, I could adjust my power sources a little bit. No, I could get some optimization here. Wait, it's been 2 hours. What just happened? So, but I think the game does do a good job of building on itself. But there's a point where you're like, oh gosh, I have to build what now? And that challenge can be a little daunting at times.
Yeah, agreed. Because when you complete a milestone, there's that. Initial euphoria of saying I did it. I completed 500 of these things, which took all these different parts and all these different hours to complete. I did it. There goes in the space elevator. You build a space elevator and it shoots it up in the space. You're like, woo, accomplishment.
Did it.
And then you look at what replaces the next requirement in the space elevator, and it's like 2,500 of these plastic parts,
versatile girders
that require all these other now subsystems that you have to go back to your production, like your initial production line, and then reorganize a bunch of stuff in order to take into account how you're going to make this new part.
Yes. And you have to go seek out new materials and, When you make that transition from tiers 3 and 4 to tiers 5 and 6, there are requirements for the space elevator that you don't even know how to make that stuff. There's one item that you had to make 500 of to get to that point, and it asked for 2,500 of them. And the other two, you don't even know how to, you don't even have the recipes for how to make that at that point. So that is a little bit of like a, oh gosh, all right, it's going to be a while here. But, you know, then you start to automate a little bit more and you're like, oh, okay, well, I can tweak this a little bit and I can add this over here. And I don't know, that's the fun of the game. One of the things I wanted to talk about in terms of us and this game is a difference in play styles and personalities. So we've mentioned this a little bit in talking to each other, but I'm curious how deep the rabbit hole goes. You visited my planet relatively early, and you saw all my little smelters lined up next to each other with parallel conveyor belts that were filtering into their constructors and assemblers. And then I was like, oh man, my coal sources are really far away. I have to set up a trucking system with tractors that can efficiently move things back and forth. And you're like, just make a really long conveyor belt. So I'm curious, how organized is your factory? I haven't actually been to it. Or are you more of like a, I'll just put it here, and then like it's just still there, you know, 10 iterations later on the central finite curve.
It is there 10 iterations later. Because the problem that I have, maybe not a problem, but how I roll is like, well, I know where it is. And it's still producing stuff, and I don't want it to stop producing stuff while I figure out new stuff, and so I build crap on top of crap. Well, unorganized crap on top of unorganized crap, where it all works. But sure. if you come in, you're gonna say to yourself, why did this conveyor belt do all this like whirly curly Q stuff?
Which I have some of that now to make stuff move work, it. But
just move your smelter, or you know, just move your assembler. Just move this over here, and then your conveyor belt will be right next to the other conveyor belt in parallel, and then it won't look like such a like a mess. That's kind of my thing. My thing. I want to do everything quickly, and I don't want it to stop the forward progress of things that are happening.
Which is interesting
because aesthetics.
We both hit the same point in the game on like the same day, but you had played like a couple, you had started playing a couple days after me. I think you had a couple more sessions where you were like grinding while I was like, yeah, I can't turn it on today, unfortunately. And you were like, oh, I got it running overnight. Like, let's go.
Yeah. When you say grinding, yeah. Like it's not me sitting there for 10 hours. It's me setting it up, being like, here's a couple of storage runoff places. There it goes. So when I come back, it'll be all there so I can pop it in a different bin to automate just from that. Yeah. So that's what I would end up doing. But yeah, there's ways you hold the left click, left control button, and then when you're placing a new building, it can snap to the building or plate or conveyor belt, whatever that's near it. And so you can keep organized like that. I tried doing that in my place just to know that my coal factories are in this area. Yeah. But for some reason, I've had issues with like the terrain. And so eventually I'm like, it's like I get annoyed, and I'm like, why am I spending so much time trying to make these buildings even? It's just gonna piss me off.
I know where they are. Do you use foundations? Do you use the cement foundations to make like flooring?
I do, but I don't build them up far enough, and so there's always rocks that get in my way.
Yeah, I have that same problem too, where I have some rocks and things in the way. But
yeah,
all right, yeah, I am very curious. I think we should do like a exploration at some point where we visit each other's factories. We can put it up on Twitch or something, or make a short video.
I don't know. I have hypertubes. Do you have hypertubes yet?
I don't yet. I have them unlocked. I haven't taken the time to put them in place. I'm sorry to admit this, but I did have to take apart the one contribution that you made to my factory, which was the jump pads that were only somewhat reliable in terms of whether or not you wouldn't die when you jumped off of them. But yeah, as the factory expanded, I was like, I kind of have to move these. And then I had just built a concrete ramp up to that new area, and I was like, yeah, I can just use this ramp. I don't need to boing every time I'm trying to go up there. So
yeah. That's fair enough. That was my first first and maybe only contribution to your factory, other than getting a bunch of like plant matter to
free
to,
resources.
Yeah. To fuel your thing. But the free resources thing, I had gone to your world initially, and I was exploring, and I took some stuff from your world, and then I started my own game. And when I started my own game, I had those resources with me. So I thought, oh, cool. Like I can go, it's interchangeable. Well, then I went to your world again with a different character, 'cause I started a few different worlds, and I stole a bunch of your materials, and I went back to my other world, and it wasn't. Consistent. So I think it's kind of hit or miss. I don't know what the deal is, but needless to say, I have my own materials now. But needless to say, also, this is a kind of game where you can get sucked in for a long time and spend a lot of time with it. you, again, like you're going after efficiencies, making things better, seeing how to get to that next milestone. But it's also a game where, like, okay, cool. Like, just you log in one day and you're like, I don't have that urge anymore. And so I rapidly burnt myself out on Satisfactory. and other than like going to your world to see how it looks and you coming to mine, I don't know. I kind of felt bad to just like let it run because that's what it was. I looked at my Steam and it was like, it already said like 8,500 hours or something like that.
Oh gosh. And last I checked, you were at like 30.
Okay.
So yeah, you've been just leaving it on, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. In my head, I thought, well, if the game is mostly me just waiting for things to happen, then I could just go play Farmville on the iPhone again. This is just a fancier, more in the weeds version of that. If I'm just waiting for parts to populate.
Yeah, I think there's an element of that. That's a fair critique. I think as I was going through the milestones to unlock the different tiers, I was the parts that I was producing for the space elevator were kind of constantly in production throughout that. So that was kind of always running while I was doing all those other milestones, which meant that by the time I was done with all of those, it was really around the same amount of time that I had finished producing everything that I needed for the last space elevator. So it can happen in tandem. It can happen at the same time. I definitely burned myself out over the weekend, but it's a game that I find myself thinking about when I'm not playing it, which is kind of rare for me. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'm done yet. I'm curious to see what these 5 and 6 tiers, but I think I want to, you know, be responsible, budget my time, and maybe play like just one milestone a session or something where I just try to unlock one milestone, or at least quit whenever I hit a new milestone, so that I can be like, okay, cool, I've made progress, things have improved. Now let's go, you know, take a walk or something.
let's go do something productive.
Let's go
in the
watch
real
a movie.
World.
We'll go watch TV. What's on TV, Brandon?
What is on TV, Travis? Yeah, so Saturday, I left the game running for a while while I was doing chores and what have you, I brought some work home and I was doing work from home while the game was running, and then at some point in time I just stopped, and I think Sunday morning I turned it on and then turned it off because I was like, okay, I'm kind of done. But Saturday evening, I talked about Joe Bob Briggs, the horror host. Well, Saturday there was a marathon featuring Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, on Shudder.
Wasn't it her birthday or something recently?
It was her 40th anniversary of Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, the release of that movie. And 40 years, man, that's we're almost there. We're right there. So she did a little horror hosting thing, showed her movie, which is the first time I'd ever seen it. Showed a couple other movies, House on Haunted Hill with Vincent Price. They showed this one that I'd never seen before called Messiah of Evil. And then the one in the middle. I was falling asleep through it. That doesn't matter. But it was cool. It was cool to see her at the end of the Elvira movie. It's amazing. It's just amazing. There's a scene where, because you know her, you know she's buxom. You know, you sure. See her boobs. You know, it's her thing. You know, at the end of the movie, she has two tassels on her boobs and does the thing where she like gets one spinning. And then it stops, and then she gets the other one spinning, and then stops, and then makes them both spin clockwise, and then makes them spin opposite directions. And I'm like, that's amazing.
That's talent.
It is talent. It must hurt.
You don't just learn that, right? You got to work at it.
Got to work. You have to like some young women, they sit in front of the mirrors with a hairbrush singing, you know, getting talent.
Yeah.
No, not Cassandra Peterson. No, she was like, how can I use my boobs to spin these tassels?
Yep.
But anyway, so the cruises we watched.
That's
what's
on TV, everybody.
We watched all those movies.
All right. I thought you were gonna talk about Frogger.
Oh yeah. That's the other thing we watched. So I've talked on this show about Holy Moly, which just hit its season finale. Great show. It was a perfect show for the pandemic because everything was just so dire and like, oh, everyone's dying. And then Holy Moly came out and it was just a positive. Everybody on there was fun. It was funny. And it was a nice break. So we watched that. And then there was something we watched on Peacock, I think. Peacock. Mm-hmm. Just randomly, we were looking for something to watch, and there's this show on Peacock called Frogger, based off of the video game Frogger from the 80s. It's hosted by Damon Wayans Jr. and this other guy, and it is a game show. It is a competitive game show where people have to jump like Frogger across these obstacle courses over water, and when I found it and I pressed play on it, I looked over at Chelsea and she kind of rolled her eyes at me like, are we really doing this? And I said, yeah, I have to see what it's like.
I have to witness what this is. Yeah.
We have to see. And, gotta say it's entertaining just enough to where my kid wants to watch every episode and we don't mind watching every episode with him.
I will say, I think my kid came in on Saturday and like rushed in my room and was like, Dad, there is this show. Have you ever heard of Frogger? It's like, have I heard of Frogger? Yes, I definitely have played Frogger. He's okay. There's a show on TV about Frogger. It is awesome. You have to check it out. And so we watched the first episode and it's fun. It's entertaining, but it is also to me, and maybe I don't know, cynical. It is a coat of paint on the Wipeouts, Floor is Lava. I don't know, every other competition reality show type thing that's out there where it's like, hey, random person that's fairly athletic, can you jump on all these weird things and get hit in the face by like a real life video game partition and maybe win $10,000? Let's find out. And they are entertaining, but they really like just continue to reutilize sort of that Wipeout format to comedian hosts who may or may not have had success in their career and that are like, yeah, this will be my thing. I'll do commentary on, Steve from Cincinnati, who's a part-time yoga instructor. And now he's going to be jumping across the gator pit of doom to save the little froggies. I don't know. I think it's fun, but I don't know. It's cotton candy. It's cotton candy television. It's sweet.
It's okay to be cynical.
It's fun, but is it fulfilling?
it's okay. Why? I understand, and I don't disagree with you. Holy Moly it's mini golf mixed with that same type of thing.
Yes,
and I'm okay with that because mini golf really is that anyway. Mini golf has always been about like obstacles with golf, right?
Yeah. Ooh, a windmill.
Yeah. Oh, it didn't go in the gator's mouth. Damn it. I mean, that's a stroke penalty. Like I'm good with that. I'm good with that stuff. Frogger
who's the guy in the group that's out on Friday night at the putt-putt who's like got the scorecard and the pencil and he's like, Sorry, you bumped it off the gator's tooth. I'm gonna have to dock you a stroke.
And sorry, pal.
I was that kid in high school.
That was you, you jerk. When I played disc golf with my dad and my kid, I'm just always like, I'll give the kid five. whatever it is. It's like, yeah, he's got five.
That's a five.
That's fine. He tried.
Two over par.
He tried.
Extreme Elimination Challenge is the shout out from Matt in the chat. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
MXC.
MXC. Yeah. Those were the best because they were all dubbed over. And yeah, those were hilarious.
Was that the one of the announcers? Like,
he said Guy LaDouche.
Guy LaDouche.
But those essentially turned into American Ninja Warrior, like almost just without the funny, like people that were incapable. It just became like, oh no, like we are really gonna. Well, no, that one was a little bit more absurd, I think. the Extreme Elimination Challenge. Yeah,
it was the thing. American Ninja Warrior. I'll say a Ninja Warrior when that came out, we were fans of that. It was fun seeing these people compete on these really difficult physical challenges. And then American Ninja Warrior came out, and then I lost my interest in it because there's something about American exceptionalism that comes off as just super fucking cocky when they come out on the show and like everyone's like, yeah, ooh, I'm gonna do it, yeah, fuck off. that Ninja Warrior wasn't like that. They were like, yeah, we're gonna do it, hey, good luck to you, pal, you know, like that. Yeah. Type of stuff. This one's like,
here I go. Oh
yeah. And Americans like, I hope you lose, suckers.
I've built an entire scale replica of the American Ninja Warrior course in my backyard, and I train 26 hours a day. I've been preparing for this for the last 7 months. Let's go.
I am going to win American Ninja Warrior. This is for you. And by you, I mean me. It's for me. It's not. so some of the appeal was lost.
I'm sorry. I don't want to hate on athletes who train and are role models to other people either.
Of course not.
Yeah. I mean, kudos to you, because I certainly couldn't make it up the warped wall. I'll tell you that right now. I cannot.
No. And I'm not saying everybody was like that. It was a general feel of the show. Like, I don't even have a specific example. It was just it felt Americanized, and the show, it wasn't about that. It's like going back to Nickelodeon Guts, right? It was about the sportsmanship of it all, and like people going out there and supporting each other. That's why, like, in some of these game shows now, like Frogger or Holy Moly or Lego Masters, people are supporting of each other. They're competing, but they're competing together, right? They're all in this experience together, and I'm just kind of past that competition, that no holds barred competition for competition's sake. Because I dealt with over 4 years of that, and I'm not a fan of it anymore.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah, they're fun shows. I don't know. I think competition reality shows, as big as they were pre-pandemic, I think they have just continued to explode in their popularity in the last year, because of the ability for them to be produced safely. Well, like, you don't necessarily need a live studio audience. For the most part, your contestants can be socially distanced. They don't have to be, like, they can go through courses one at a time. Your hosts don't even have to be in the same studio necessarily. Like, they can actually record their their voiceovers after the fact if they want to. So it is really interesting. And it seemed like even shows like American Idol, The Voice, The Masked Singer, all of those, you know, all of the competition reality shows that just are everywhere now.
Refuse to die.
Yeah, I think it was one of those things where they're like, we can figure out ways to produce these and still essentially provide the same experience, and get around some of the COVID protections that they were dealing with, especially, you know, mid to late 2020 when they're just trying to figure out how to make entertainment after everything was shut down.
Yeah, is it weird to you that some of these reality shows, these game shows, are still on the air?
Yes and no. There are times when I'm like, what is the budget for this show? Like, because I think about that's the problem with Travis, right? Travis sits down with his bucket of popcorn. It's Thursday night, time to watch some entertaining television. Oh, what's on? Frogger. Hey, Frogger. Okay. Well, all right. It's the dude from Punk'd that married Elsa. Dax Shepard. And
oh yeah, what was that? Is it what Simon Says? No, that's not what that show is called.
No, it's she's from
The Good Place. Sarah Marshall.
Yeah.
Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell, thank you. And Dax Shepard. So they have a family like game night TV show that I think they basically slid into Ellen's Game of Games time slot and budget when she got canceled. But it's basically they're like, we like playing games at home, so we brought two teams to come play games with us. And then they do all these like wacky like challenges, and then one team goes away with like, I don't know, $25,000 or something like that, right? But I sit there and I'm like, okay, this is fun. It's a fun game, but like, all right, how much does it cost to make this show? They gotta make all those props. They gotta pay the people $25,000. And this is network television, so that means the sponsors have to cover, plus you gotta pay Dax and Kristen Bell, right? Like they gotta be making money off this. I know they're producing it, but and so then by the end I'm like, oh, who won? What? Sorry, I was thinking about the quarterly financials for the National Broadcasting Company and not about the fun of it all. So I'm a jaded old man now, ladies and gentlemen.
Though there are so many of those shows, though. Like, how much money do people get from Survivor and Big Brother and Dancing with the Stars? I don't care about Dancing with the Stars.
I mean, but they have to be lucrative in some way for them to keep going back to that model, right?
They have to be. I mean, there's a reason those shows are still on the air. And there's still a huge following for those shows, but it is surprising because those shows don't feel like they've changed that dramatically over the years.
And we still do
this podcast. We still do the Rick and Morty podcast, and we do the same thing over and over again. We're not getting paid for it, and even this, I'm like sometimes like, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of over it, you know, like it go right through the periods of time where it's time
to rebuild, time to renew. Yeah. Right. Which this podcast, as we joke about, has gone through so many different like reinventions of itself, trying to figure out, you know, something different to do with.
Yeah.
It, so
it's like playing Satisfactory, put so much time into it. Like, yeah, it's time to move on. It's a Twilight Zone podcast.
Thanks for listening to the very last episode of Apathetic Enthusiasm, everybody. Until a couple weeks from now, we're not. Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk about something else.
I do want to talk about two other game shows that I watched in this kind of search for different game shows other than Holy Moly and Lego Masters. The first is a redo. I have a third thing to talk about after these two. First is a redo of the classic Supermarket Sweep, hosted by What's her face from SNL?
This is what's her face.
Leslie Jones. Leslie Jones.
Okay. Yep.
We watched an episode of that. It was Supermarket Sweep. It was all right.
Sure.
Not enough to keep us going with it. She wasn't a bad hostess. A host. The second one we watched was a show, and I don't know if you watched this. It featured the host Adam Scott from Party Down. He's been in a few other things. Comedic actor extraordinaire. It's a game called Don't. It's an American comedic physical game show that aired on ABC for a while. What it was...
I don't think I've even heard of that.
Yeah. It offers contestants the opportunity to team up with their family and friends for the chance to win a cash prize of $100,000 by tackling hilarious tasks, each with a simple rule of don't. It was not good. And I like Adam Scott. He was not a good host. and the editing of it was so poorly done. The episode we watched, we didn't even watch the entire episode because it was kind of cringy. And that's not a word I use very often, is cringy. And it was a guy who was in, he was raised over like a giant pool of water. And his three family members were they had to answer trivia questions. And if they got the trivia wrong, then he would be lowered closer to this pool of water. And the theme was don't wet your pants. And they ended up answering all the questions right, or enough of them right, and then they went to the next round. And then they're like, okay, drop them in the water anyways. Ha 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 ha. And that was it. And we're like, nah, I don't. And it felt like that took 40 minutes. It was like a 10-minute segment, and we decided, nah, sorry, Adam Scott, not going to watch the rest of the show.
I was just watching a clip of it from like a news broadcast saying that it was coming up, you know, soon or whatever. It looked like they really the bottom line was pretty low on that one. Like the guy's walking on a treadmill with like literally like a pop-up screen behind him as a backdrop. So like this and he had like a piece of cheese pizza with a giant pepper on it. And that was all I got out of that show. was like it was not enticing me to watch it. Anyway.
Don't watch it.
That show. All right, what was your third idea about game shows?
The third thing was there is a show coming out in October, which is a rehash of one of our favorite shows of all time, Legends of the Hidden Temple.
It is
coming. I don't remember what channel, maybe ABC, NBC, whatever, one of those ooh, game show networks.
Going to network television off of Nickelodeon. Yeah.
Wow. We put in our application.
Yeah.
We did not get a call back.
It's weird.
Needless to say.
Maybe because they were looking for contestants in the LA area and my address was in Oklahoma.
Yeah. They also probably wanted people who were fit and had a compelling story.
I guess not us.
Neither of those things apply to us.
Yeah.
I could barely fit in his pants.
But the green monkeys.
Ooh, Barracuda.
Ooh, Barracudas.
The guy who's voicing Olmec is the same guy who voiced Olmec back in the 90s.
That's just amazing. That is so cool. I still
waiting by the phone for 30 years.
He's had no other voiceover work for the last two decades.
I need that call. He's just in a stone head, just on his couch.
He's just sitting there crying, the silver snakes. Yeah.
Or
I didn't Yeah. We didn't get on Legends of the Hidden Temple, I'm afraid. But we love the show. We did love the show. Hopefully people in this new reboot will figure out how to put the idol together and don't get caught by temple guards quite as often as those kids did way back in the day. But you know, it could happen. All right, topic roundup time. Things that I put in the backup notes. Wii Sports. My son found Wii Sports this week, which I haven't played in probably 10 years. And he is obsessed with bowling and baseball, and that's pretty much it. But he just keeps going like, Dad, come play Wii Sports with me. And I'm like, son, no. He beats me consistently at bowling. Almost, I thought I had him tonight, right before we started recording. Nope. He pulled off like two strikes in the 10th frame and came out ahead. But then Sheena comes out of nowhere and also dominates in Wii Sports bowling. But I still got him beat. I still got him beat in baseball. He has not beaten me a single game in baseball yet. So feel good about it. Mixing up those pitches. That's the trick. He's expecting the fastball. I bring him the slider. You got the changeup. He's not ready for it. So Wii Sports still stands up. Still stands up. It's a solid game.
Speaking of games that still stand up, my son, my 9-year-old, he's still doing that whole online school because we still don't want him to go into actual school. He has joined. He got to choose his choice of club. Making me proud. Join the chess club.
Heyo.
Joining that chess club. And then we bought him a Jurassic Park chess set, which is very difficult to know which pieces are which. The pterodactyls the pterodactyls are the pawns, which seems weird. Like it should be the little compies, the little compthagnuses, right? Yeah. It's not those guys. Maybe because they look too much like mini raptors, and people be like, these are mini raptors. But anyway, so I'm proud of him. I still beat him consistently. I hope that by the end of the year, in at least a year or two, he will start beating me, in which case I will kick him out unless he pays rent. Because if he can beat me in chess, that means he's old
enough. You can start making a living. just go out to the park and challenge people and bet the money to play chess against them.
Chess sharks,
exactly. All right, I saw Dear Evan Hansen this weekend. There's no commonality between me and Brandon on that topic. It's a Broadway musical to the theaters, so that'd be like you talking about horror movies for a while. I just have nothing to say with that. So
there is a show on Netflix that just came out on all these reality game shows that we're talking about called Squid Game. I think it's a Korean show.
Yeah. That's I heard this is the third time I've heard someone mention it today. So, it is part of the cultural zeitgeist. And now we have to look into it because
of this show,
everybody's talking about it. About it.
Chelsea is already basically done with it. And so I'm just having her fill me in. Okay.
Yeah, we watched a bunch of weird stuff. We've still been watching Only Murders in the Building, which, have you started that? Have you checked that out at all?
No, I probably haven't.
The podcast subplot, I feel like you need to check it out just so we can talk about podcasting in terms of that movie or show. And then Sheena started Manifest. Okay. We started Manifest. And by like the fifth episode, I was like, I don't think this show is for me. It's trying too hard to be the next Lost, and it's not. And so I've sort of tapered off. And then last night was a breaking point where she's like, "Oh, you're going to bed?" I was like, "Yeah, I got to get up early, you know, work and stuff." She's like, "All right, well, I'm gonna watch like one or two more episodes." And I was just like, "You go right ahead, you go right ahead." And so this is where our paths diverge now, and she's gonna. And then, like, season 3 of Manifest, she'd be like, it's amazing. You got to check it out. I'd be like, all right, well, we'll see.
All right.
We'll see if I have a calling for that. But anyway, lots happening. Star Wars Visions, you're never going to watch them. They're hit or miss, but they're kind of fun.
No, I saw a GIF of people complaining about the Sith with an umbrella lightsaber.
Yeah, that's and in then, the first like 5 minutes of the series. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, people are. I'm not one of the people that's like, whoa, wow, that's stupid. Because I understood what the visions is supposed to be.
Yeah. It is definitely an artistic interpretation on, like, based in the Star Wars universe, but definitely not core to the canon.
Yeah. So I might check some of them out, but I saw people complaining about it, like, this isn't Star Wars, this isn't canon, that type of stuff. And you're like, get over it.
In terms of like artistic diversity, though, like the different art styles in every episode, and they're really shorts, like 10 to 12 minutes. A lot of these episodes, there's some really cool diversity in the fact that if you are an anime fan and a Star Wars fan, which, you know, occasionally those fan bases cross over, I would suspect that this is something that you might really be into, because I don't know, it's cool to see a universe that has been so well explored through media, movies, TVs, everything, to be presented in a completely different, like, cultural tone, even. I just think it, I appreciate that aspect of it.
Yeah. Going back in arguably ways that it was derived from in the first place, sure. Like the Kurosawa samurai films and what have
Absolutely.
You. So, that's cool. That's cool. I don't understand why there's any kind of dislike or hatred, other than to say, man, what happened to Star Wars? Star Wars fans, they just at some point in time, they just turned, and they turned into a weird way.
It's because Disney ruined it. That's all I ever hear from the people I work with, is Disney ruined it. And then I say, Mandalorian is pretty great.
But to that they'll say, well, that's because of Favreau and the other dude. Like, because Kathleen Kennedy has nothing to do with that piece of it. And I'll say, well, Kathleen Kennedy is the producer for all of it.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, no, they kind of left Favreau to his own devices. And I'm like, okay, all right, just whatever the narrative is that you have in your mind.
Yeah.
Time out
real quick before we move on. Hold the thought. Hold the pin in it.
Yeah.
All the like 20 to 25 year olds that I work with that talk about the prequels, like about how great they are, and then talk about episodes 7, 8, and 9 and how trash they are. It is so funny to me because of how much we hated the prequels when they came out, because we were, you know, older when those came out and they were kids and so they loved that, and they were like, that's OG Star Wars to them. So all the kids today that love Kylo Ren and Rey are going to piss off these 20-year-olds in a couple decades when they're like, no, man, they completely like closed the series and it all makes sense and this ties to this. And and meanwhile, I got all these Jar Jar fans that I work with, and I don't know if they're Jar Jar fans.
I hope they're not. The last thing I was going to say is, talk about this, the Star Wars kind of hate. I've been reading articles about every time a new What If episode comes out, I see an article from some website, and it talks about how Marvel finally answered the plot hole about such and such a thing, or finally answered the question about who's stronger, or just all this type of search. And so the article, you'll open it up and it'll have this core question or core thing that says Marvel's finally answering, and they go into it. And then at the end of the article, they're like, but it doesn't necessarily mean that every time. What is a recent situation with, like, where did this character pop up from? If all of these things are happening, where did this character pop up from? How was he even created in the first place, if in this universe? And then at the very end of the article, it says, well, it could probably could have come from a different universe where he was created.
It doesn't like, doesn't necessarily mean this.
Look at that. Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah, you did it. You figured it out.
You figured it out in your own article. Why don't you start the article? Why don't you title the article, "Don't Read This. We Figured It Out Already." Like that could be it. Anyways, what if article post articles are just an excuse to be like, "I think I understood that. Oh, I do understand it. Yeah, okay. Bye." Very, very frustrating. Clickbait. I went from Rick and Morty clickbaiting to what if clickbaiting, and it just kills me, man.
Yeah. There anyway. You go. He's a sucker for the clickbait. Well, I think, I don't know. Yeah, we did over an hour. We're good on this. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for downloading. Yeah, you're the special ones. You're the special ones. Thanks for being a part of the show. Join us Monday nights. I don't know, like 8 p.m. Central, 6 Pacific time. That's when we go live over on Twitch. You can be part of the show. You can interact. You can throw comments and topics our way. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's time for a format change. Maybe we'll start getting some guests on here. What do you think about that? Let's find some folks who want to be part of the show. And we'll give that a shot. I don't know. Maybe some people from our podcast network. I don't know. Some people with deep voices. I don't know. We'll figure it out. That means I got to make a new layout because there's only two of us on this one. So
rounding the deep voices.
Let's
do it to it. Well, thank you everybody for listening. Thank you, Travis, for being my co-host all these years and for all the years yet to come. And ladies and gentlemen, we will see you or talk to you or listen to you if you talk to us or type to us, and then I'll have the voice to text say it out loud. It'll say, please record more. And I'll be like, I listen to you. That's great. Anyways, we'll tune into you next time here on Apathetic Enthusiasm. Goodbye. I think
there's the button. Bye everybody.
There it is.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.